What I want to talk to you about today is hearing the voice. Hearing the voice. About 25 years ago, when our son Evan, we have three children, we have a daughter Elise, who's on staff. She's married and lives in the Raleigh-Durham area. And she does all of our Twitter, Facebook, all of our branding, everything related to our designs and logos and marketing of every kind, which is like a huge deal now. And that's what she does. And then our son Evan is married and he lives in Brooklyn. And our daughter Ariana and her husband Maurice are the youth pastors here. So Evan, when he was about 5 years old, perhaps about 25 years ago, was in the house while I was outside after a hurricane cutting a tree down. So I'm on the chainsaw and I'm cutting this tree down. And I get almost to the point where the tree is ready to drop. And you know, you never really know where those trees are gonna land. You know, I notched it, I had it all, you know, figured out that it's, you know, I'm gonna put it where I wanna put it. But you're not really in control once you get past a certain point, and it could really go just about anywhere. You know, typically it'll do what you want it to do, but I was cutting away. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw that Evan had come bursting out of the house. He's 5 years old, and he comes running. And he's going to be on a collision course with this tree as this tree falls. And I'm at that point, you know, sawing away, and I took my finger off the throttle, and the saw is in the tree, and you never know when, you know, it's just going to go, because you're right at that point where there's nothing really holding it, and it could go. And I hollered at him as loud as I could, looked at him, and I hollered at him to stop, and he didn't stop. And parents, you know how you will repeat yourself louder and louder and faster, and that's what I did. And it had no effect on him whatsoever. And thank God the tree did not fall. And when I saw definitely that he was not going to stop, I just left the saw, and it was still running. I didn't even shut it off. I just left it, and I raced over, and I scooped him up. And I went right on into the house, right into the bedroom, and I composed myself. And then I gave him a really memorable spanking. And I wasn't angry. And I was more scared than anything else. I didn't really want to give him a spanking because I was just thankful that the tree didn't fall and nothing happened. I mean, I was just so relieved and thankful to God that nothing happened. But I knew that I needed to correct something. And I told him what it was. I said, I'm going to spank you. And I said, I'm not going to spank you because I'm angry with you or because you embarrassed me. Or, you know, I'm going to spank you because when I spoke to you, your response to my voice should have been to stop, and you didn't do that. You just kept right on coming as if I were not speaking at all. So I said, now that points to a couple of things, and one is, you know, that you need to obey me. When I speak to you, you need to stop immediately and listen for the next thing. You know, if I say stop, I don't have to explain why. I don't have to justify myself. I don't have time to do that because, you know, this was a life and death thing. If you had kept coming and you had not stopped and the tree had fallen over, it would have fallen on you. And you would have been hurt or killed because you didn't listen to my voice. So I said, we're going to fix that right now. And I said, as your dad, I want to repent and apologize to you for not teaching you this, because I have failed, apparently, to communicate to you that when I say something, you need to give me your full attention. You don't have to know what I'm going to say next. You don't have to know what it's all about. If I call your name, if I say stop, you stop, and then you just wait until you hear what comes next. And you're gonna do that from now on. And I'm going to insist on that from now on. And that's what's going to happen. So I gave him a good spanking. And I cried and he cried because I was just so relieved that he was not hurt. And it was a very emotional moment for both of us. And then we went back out and we cut the tree up, and it was all good. Here's what happens with, here's what happens with children. They become adults, and they grow up, And if you are a child who doesn't listen when your name is called, if you're a child who doesn't respond and doesn't recognize the voice of authority or the voice of your parent, then you will become an adult that struggles with that as well. And people will speak to you and you won't listen. And people will talk to you and you won't pay any attention because you've grown calloused and hardened to the sound of people's voices. And it's just white noise. And you'll just keep doing what you're doing and you'll just keep going where you're going. And when we look at the scriptures, we see how God operates and how God deals with us. And God uses the power of his voice. That's what he does. One of the things that I've seen parents do is chase after their kids. And I'll be out in town someplace and I'll see a parent and they'll speak to the child and the child will just keep right on running away. And I see this over and over again with men and women where the parent will run after the child then, just finally give up. They'll just say, you know, Johnny, Johnny's not paying any attention. You can tell that he never listens. He never recognizes the sound of that parent's voice, ever. You can just tell. Out in public, you know, they'll really show up what's really going on in private, won't they? The kids will. And what do I see the parent do? Because the parent is bigger and stronger and faster, they will chase them down and muscle them around, scoop them up. Sometimes they will actually turn it into almost a game. And they'll tickle the kid, and then they'll both laugh. And it's like, what are you laughing about? You know, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, well, you're laughing because this child is incapable of obeying the sound of your voice. Do you think that's funny? You're laughing because this child is being disobedient. You're laughing because this child is running off and being willful and doing whatever they want to do and totally ignoring you, totally disrespecting you. That's funny? You're making a joke out of that? You know, I'm thinking about, you know, this kid, and I'm thinking, boy, this kid doesn't know. I'm right here. You know, it's close. You don't know how close you are to getting snatched up. But I'd like to snatch up the parent, and I'd like to say, listen, sit down. Let me talk to you about this. Let me talk to you about this. I had a little boy once, and he didn't listen to anything that I said, and it almost cost him his life one time. Then I thought, what if Evan comes out the door and he runs out into the street, and I see that there's a car coming, and he's chasing after a ball, and I holler at him, and I say, Evan, stop! And he does what he just did now, and he runs out in front of that car. I will be upset with the driver because that driver ran over my son. I might even be angry with God because, God, how could you let my son get run over by that car? But the truth would be, and I saw this so clearly that day, that's why I was so broken. I mean, I told my son, I said, I've failed. I thought I was a good parent up until that point. And I said, man, I've really failed you. Because we're just one incident away where the voice is all I got. And I'm going to use it. But I see now that it's not going to be worth anything. It's not going to do any good. I can speak to you. You won't listen. I can speak to you. And I can speak to you repeatedly. I can even raise my voice as loud as I possibly can and speak with as much intensity as I can muster, and you will not stop. And someday that could cost you your life. And who would be responsible for that? Not the driver of the car, not even Evan, because Evan's just a kid. Who would be responsible for that? Me, because I'm his dad, and I know better. And it's my responsibility to teach him that when I speak, you better listen to me. Now, I was raised in such a way that that was something that I thought I was just born with, because there was no way that I would ever have disobeyed my dad. There was no way that I would ever have not responded immediately when my dad called me, and I thought that I was naturally that way. But what happened was, Dad taught me that. Why was I that way? Because I was taught that way. I was trained up that way. Now, if you're raising children, then those children need to recognize your voice, and they need to recognize the sound of your voice and respect the sound of your voice, because someday you're going to hand them over to someone else, and it's not going to be their spouse, and it's not going to be their boss, but they're going to need to hear the voice of the Lord, and they're going to need to instantly respond, because instantly responding to God's voice can be a matter of life and death. Amen. Just like it is in the natural. So I realized I've got to train this kid up. I got to train, you know, I got to train all of them up. But the girls sometimes were a little easier. And I've got to train all of them up. I was trained that way. When my dad said, you know, Chris, then I would stop whatever I was doing and I would give him my full attention. There was no way that he would ever allow a kid to keep doing something as he was speaking to them. No way. He wouldn't even speak twice. He wouldn't say my name twice. If I had, and I probably did when I was little, I probably did just ignore him until you know, well, I probably did it once. And then he taught me and said, okay, no, we don't do that. When I speak, you listen, because I'm the voice. I'm the voice in your life right now, and you're gonna pay attention to me. Someday, I'm gonna turn you over to the voice, in all caps, exclamation point, and that is God's voice. And God's not gonna chase you around and muscle you around and force you to do stuff. Some people get mad at God because, you know, hey, I expect to ignore God's voice, do what I wanna do, and then when I get in trouble, I expect God to go and snatch me out of the jaws of trouble. And he's supposed to, he's big, he's strong, he's supposed to just do, he's supposed to, you know, be able to run faster, and he's got more muscle than I do, and he can just grab me, and he can just make me do the right thing, or he can just pull me away from, you know, the jaws of death. And yet God isn't going to do that. God is going to speak to us and use his voice, and we're going to learn, all of us, to listen for that voice and to obey that voice. The Bible says that before Jesus came, God sent a voice. The Bible says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the Bible says that there would be someone that would come and raise their voice, and that messenger would announce and prepare the people and prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord. Prepare their hearts by proclaiming a call to repentance and just simply saying, listen, all the rough places are going to have to get bumped off. And all the crooked places, all of us are crooked and bent. And the Bible says that all of that stuff is going to have to be dealt with and faced. We're going to have to deal with our crookedness and our tendency to sin and our iniquity. Every exalted place, every prideful person who thinks that they don't need to hear from God is going to be brought low. God's going to work in people's hearts. God's going to prepare us. It's no good for God to come if nobody can stand it when he does. So God sends a messenger ahead of time with a voice to prepare the people. If they have ears to hear what the Lord is saying, they'll be ready when he comes. The Bible says further in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah chapter 40. It's a great aria from the Messiah, from the musical The Messiah. And so God is working in our lives, but God works through his voice. And God speaks to us. And we want to use circumstances sometimes, and we want to be led by this and led by that and directed by this. Sometimes we're like the children of Israel when they said to Moses, we don't want God to talk to us. It's scary. Let God talk to you, Moses. Let God talk to the preacher. And then we don't want to hear what God has to say. We'll just let him talk to Pastor Chris, and then Pastor Chris will tell us what the Lord is saying on Sunday. And yet there's a lot of life being lived between Sundays. And we need to hear God's voice then, don't we? You think you might have a need to hear what God has to say on Monday? I know you will. I know I will. That requires us to begin to cultivate a sensitivity and to be able to develop a recognition so that we know that that's God's voice. After a while, our kids just know. I can remember when I played high school football, my dad's voice would cut through the noise and cut clear across the field, and I would hear my dad exhorting me and encouraging me. And I can still hear that. And it's just, but I recognize that that's Dad, that's his voice. He had a very strong, piercing, distinctive voice. I think I got some of that, but my dad really had that. And it was a voice that absolutely commanded your attention. And other people would say things and other people would be yelling, but there was something about Dad's voice that I could hear. And amongst all of the voices that are screaming and yelling, it's almost like we're on the field, we're playing the game of life and the stands are crowded and there's just noise everywhere. How are you gonna be able to recognize the voice? But when you live with someone and you're close to someone, and that person is someone that you have developed a sensitivity to hearing what they have to say. You've grown accustomed to really stopping and listening when you hear them. Then it's not so hard. It's not so difficult. Some people say, well, I've just never heard God speak. I don't know if I would have recognized the voice of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, God is speaking to you right now, whether you know it or not. There's something in theology called prevenient grace, and that is that before you ever become very conscious of God, God is conscious of you, and God is dealing with you mercifully, and God is dealing with you graciously, even though you're not saved, even though you might not be seeking God, even though you might be living a sinful life. God is still showing his grace and his mercy to you, and God is still speaking to you. There are times when people will come up and say, listen, even before I got saved, I've had people come up and give me testimonies about being drunk or being in a club or being in jail or being in all kinds of different places, not living right, not living for God, and yet knowing that God somehow in that moment was talking to them. And it was only later that they recognized that was God. That was God speaking to me in that hole that I had dug for myself. So God does that preveniently. He does that in preparation for what he's going to do next. Prevenient means it comes before. It comes before a lot of our experiences with God. It comes before we darken the door of a local church or we hear a preacher preach or we read the Bible. God's grace and God's mercy and God's voice are speaking. When you're a kid, you're more receptive to it. And it's not so difficult for you to hear when you're 5, 6, 7 years of age. That's why we like to have access to kids that are that age, because they really hear God. And they really are responsive to the voice of the Lord. And they're not too young. They're not too little. They have a spirit. And their spirit's wide open. And we have a spirit. But ours is not so wide open as children. That's why the Bible says, come to me like little children. Jesus said, if you don't come like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. But God speaks. And he speaks to us whether we know it or not. There's a story of a little boy that was dedicated to the Lord. And his mother left him at the temple after he became a certain age. And he was a boy that was born miraculously by the word of the Lord. It was a promise that God gave her when she was barren. She had many other children after this boy was born, but up until this point, she had none. And what unlocked her ability to be able to conceive and bear a child was just simply God spoke. And when God spoke, she conceived a little boy whose name was Samuel. The Bible says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord in the temple before Eli. Eli was the high priest. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, he was elderly, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli. Eli's the old man who can't see, and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Eli's not getting much sleep, is he? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. And then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Speak, your servant is listening. What is the proper response when we begin to hear the voice of the Lord? Speak, for your servant is listening. God's got something to say. And you may think, well, I don't want to hear what God has to say because God's probably going to pile judgments on me and he's probably got a bunch of really like angry things to say to me because I'm not perfect and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I know I should do better and I know I should go to church more often. I know I should be a better Christian or I should be a better person. And I just don't want to hear what God has to say because God is holy, God is God, God is perfect and I'm not. And if God talks to me, it's probably going to be bad. And we just want to run from the voice of the Lord. That's what the people said to Moses. They said, you can listen to him because you're Moses, but we can't. When he speaks, we just get scared. When he speaks, we just want to run away. Kind of reminds you of the little kid that just keeps on running even though the voice is speaking. Kind of reminds me of Evan that just kept right on running even though I was speaking. He just kept right on running. He just ignored me. Just It was like I had no power. My voice had no influence over him whatsoever. How frustrating that was, and how dangerous it could have been. But God is constantly speaking, whether we realize it or not. And Eli, who was supposed to know, and who was supposed to be a man of God, and was supposed to be God's man, you know, to teach and train and lead, he didn't even recognize what was going on. He didn't even really get it. And it took three times before he finally figured it out. But Samuel, who's a little boy, Samuel doesn't have the training. Samuel doesn't know. He doesn't know that God can talk like that. He doesn't know that God will address him that way, that God knows his name and will actually talk to him by name and say, Samuel, I want to talk to you. Yeah, he didn't have any awareness of that. Now, let me ask you this. Did God get impatient with Samuel and say, listen, if this kid doesn't respond right away, then I'm just going to move on to somebody else. I'm just going to quit talking to him. He didn't quit talking to him, did he? It took four times. He came back four times. And on the fourth time, Samuel was ready by faith to hear what was coming next. He recognized God is speaking to me, and I'm his servant, and I want him to know that I'm all ears. I want him to know that I'm ready to listen. Could it be that many of the things that we're complaining about, or many of the things that we're suffering in, or many of the things that we have against God really have to do with the fact that he's speaking, but we're not listening? He's talking, but we don't have ears to hear. We're not stopping. We're not listening to his voice. We're just racing on to do whatever comes naturally. We're just racing on to do whatever we think is right. Could it be that there are times when God is speaking to us and we just don't recognize that it's him? We think it's somebody else. Isn't that what Samuel thought? He thought it was Eli. He thought, if I'm hearing this, it has to be Eli, because he's the only one that has a voice. He's the only one that could possibly be talking to me. It couldn't possibly be God talking to me, because God doesn't talk that way. Sometimes people are even trained in that in church. God doesn't speak like that anymore. God doesn't talk to people like that anymore. Don't expect to hear anything from God anymore like that. Now, all you're going to get is the letter. You're just going to read the words of the letter. You're going to read the words of the Bible, and that's all you're going to get. But God is the living God, isn't he? So God makes his word come alive. And yes, he speaks to us through his word, but God will speak directly to us, and he'll talk to us in our spirit, because God is alive. He's not limited by anything, and he will speak. And the Bible says that in preparation for the things that God is going to do next, he always sends a messenger. He always has a voice. Somebody is always talking. God is always speaking. And we may not recognize that it's God, and we may not know that it's God. We may not think that God can do that, but God does that. He does that. He doesn't just do it in Bible times. He's doing it today. Do you think those people were the only ones that needed to hear God speak? I need to hear God speak today, don't you? Amen. You need to hear God tell you some things. There are some things you don't know. There are some things that you don't perceive. There are some things that you need. Evan needed to hear what I had to say, because I was warning him, and I was warning him about destruction that was going to come if he didn't stop. I recognized the danger when he didn't. All of us are like little kids when it comes to God. God is our big heavenly Father. You don't even recognize the danger that you're headed into. You don't even know that there's a tree that's about to fall. You have no idea. You think God's just going to be quiet and watch and let you stumble into that and be hurt and not say a word? Do you think that's the kind of God that he is? Isn't he a loving God? Isn't he a merciful God? Isn't he clear when he says, I don't want anybody to perish? I want everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why would God sit by and just simply be an observer when he's already broken that by sending Jesus, his only begotten Son, into the world so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? And if God did not withhold his only Son, as Pastor Mason was saying earlier, how much more will he not also freely, together with him, give us all the things that we need, including the warnings that will save our lives? Why wouldn't God do that? Of course he would, and of course he does. And of course that's what he wants to do. But God will speak. God will speak. And to those that have an ear to hear, he's always got something to say. He's always got something to say. Do you like to talk to people who never listen to you? Ladies, are you going to go home today, and is your husband going to watch football, and is it going to be hard to talk to him? Maybe a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to talk to me. You know, my wife will be talking, and her lips are moving, and I don't hear a word she's saying. And she's not in another room. She's right there, you know, and what? Were you saying something? And it's discouraging, isn't it? If you talk to somebody and they don't pay any attention to you. If you talk to somebody and they never listen to what you have to say. Who do you look for? You look for people that are are people that are good listeners, don't you? If you want to have a good time, you want to find somebody that will listen to what you have to say and will give you feedback on what you're saying and will respond to what you're saying. Have you ever given somebody advice? And then you give them advice and you know it's good advice and you know that if they'll apply it, if they'll actually do it, it will work and they'll be blessed, and they don't take your advice? And they do the dumb thing that you said, don't do that, because that's a dumb thing. And they do it anyway? And you told them not to do it. You said, don't do it that way. Weren't you listening when I told? Well, yeah, I was listening, but I just didn't believe you. Yeah, I was listening, but then somebody else said, and I thought, you know, that sounded right, so I just did what. Well, why did you do that? What I told you was the right thing to do. How often do you want to give advice to people that don't take your advice and actually apply it to their lives? How discouraging is that? After a while, you just say, listen, I just need to find somebody that when I tell them something, they'll actually learn and they'll actually do what I tell them to do. Isn't that what you want your children to do? You want to be the voice that teaches them. You want to be able to raise them up. You say, well, other people might raise their kids up this way and raise their kids up that way, and they may use their voice to teach their kids certain things, and they may even use their voice to scream at their kids, curse their kids, call their kids names, yell at their kids, you know, rant and rave at their kids. I don't want to use my voice that way. I want to use my voice to train up my children in the way that they should go. That's how I want to use my voice. But you're going to use your voice with your kids. And you're either going to train them to ignore your voice, or you're going to train them to listen to your voice. And if you've made mistakes, I made mistakes, and up until the time Evan was about 5 years old, I was actually failing as a dad, but I would have told you that I was a gold star dad. I was a blue ribbon dad. I would have said, man, I'm a good dad. I'm a good dad. But I wasn't really being a good dad, because my son had yet to identify the authority of my voice. He didn't recognize it. He wasn't listening for it. So parents, teach your kids from the very beginning to listen to your voice. Teach them that you're not just another voice. You're not just any voice. You are the voice. Don't be shy about it. Don't be embarrassed. It's not prideful. There's nothing wrong with it. Teach them to recognize that. If you had asked my son at that time, do you love your dad? He would have said yes. If you had asked him, do you need your dad? He would have said, absolutely, I need my dad. I need my dad. If you had asked him, is your dad really important to you? Yes, he is. Outside of my mom, he's probably the most important person in my life, would be my dad. That's absolutely true. I love him, I need him, and he's important to me. Who does that sound like? That sounds like you. You love God, you need God, he's important to you, but just because you love him and you need him and he's important to you, it doesn't mean you're listening to him. Because Evan would have said, you're sure I love my dad. And just because I didn't listen to his voice and I didn't stop and I didn't obey and I didn't pay any attention when he was speaking to me doesn't mean I don't love him. I love him. And I need him. And he's important to me. But yet, if we love God and we need God and he's important to us, then everything that comes out of his mouth. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen. And so then at a certain point, you just say, Lord, if I really do love you, I'm going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. If I really do love you, I'm going to value what you have to say. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to make your voice the number one voice in my life. Your voice is going to be the voice. Because when we train our kids that way, what we're doing is we're preparing them for the day that we will have to step back and they will have to step out, and they'll have to follow God's voice for the rest of their lives. I can give them direction, but at a certain point, God is the one that knows the plans that he has for them. God is the one who knows more than I do what he created them for and the direction that he has for their lives. And I want them to find it easy. I want them to find it normal and natural and just a continuation of what it was when they were growing up in my home. I want them to be passed off now to the Holy Spirit, and God will lead them and God will guide them with his voice. Amen? Amen. And when he does that, what's it going to do? It can save you, it can save their life. It can spare them grief and pain and injury, you know, emotionally and physically and spiritually on every level. So wherever you are in life, and whatever stage in life you find yourself, there is a voice at this point in time that is the voice that you need to be listening to. If you are working for somebody, then you recognize that there are people who are going to be saying stuff, and there are people who are going to be telling you things. But what you want to know is, who's the one here that I really need to pay attention to? Other people may give me their opinions. Other people may be giving me, you know, certain kinds of feedback. But I need to know who is the voice of authority. Who is the one that when they speak, I take that as an order. And I'm going to execute that. I'm going to do that. Other people can give me suggestions. Other people can give me their opinion. But their voice doesn't carry the same weight. And their voice doesn't have the same authority. And when we train our kids up in that, then when they go into the classroom, they will look up at that teacher and they'll say, that voice I pay attention to. That is the voice of authority here and now in this classroom. They're the one that I listen to. And when they tell me to sit down, I sit down. And when they tell me to stand up, I stand up. I'm going to listen to their voice because they're the voice of authority in this classroom. Is that happening in our culture today? Not so much. Not so much. When you have a child, and where does that start, folks? Where do you think that starts? That starts with little Johnny at the mall running away from mom. And you may think, well, boy, that's an exaggeration. Well, okay. If you feel that way, then you're entitled to your opinion. But I'll just tell you this. You show me, you know, a little Johnny who runs away from the voice of authority, and I'll show you a big Johnny who runs away from the voice of authority. He won't stop. He won't submit. Because he'd been doing that his whole life. Nobody ever put the brakes on him. The only way that he can be stopped is if he's muscled to the ground. You got to be bigger and stronger, and you got to physically force him to do it, or they won't listen. They won't do it. Now, if you think God is going to muscle, he's bigger and stronger than you, but if you think he's going to play those games with you, he's not. He's not going to get down in the dirt with you and wrestle you into submission. If his voice is not enough, then off you go. But if you go and something bad happens, don't blame him. Mm-hmm. Because he warned you. Because he talked to you. He spoke to you. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. And sometimes it was through a preacher. And sometimes it was through a teacher. And sometimes it was through a boss. And sometimes it was through something that you read. But God was talking to you all this time. And if the only thing we'll respond to is physical force, or if God has to run ahead of us and childproof life for us, put everything up, lock every door so we won't get in trouble, God won't do that either. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and we're led by the sound of his voice. And when we hear his voice, we stop. We stop and say, okay, God's speaking. Okay, God, what's next? When God talks to you, he doesn't just talk to you to say that you're cute. He doesn't just talk to you to say that, you know, you're lovable and pinch your cheeks. But there's something important that he has for you. And it could come in the form of a warning. And God is warning you about something that's going to come. And if you're a young person and you're not married and you're in a relationship, God has something to say about that relationship. And I'm just telling you that God is saying it. God is saying it. And sometimes it will come, and it will come through the voice of another person. Could be a sibling, could be a parent. They'll say, that guy's not right for you, or she's not right for you. But you don't like that. You're not going to listen to that voice. So you're going to plow ahead, and you're going to do what you want to do. Big mistake. Listen for the voice. Eli finally said, hey, it's not me talking, it's God talking. And I could stand up here and say, listen, whatever it is that God is saying to you right now, it's not me talking, it's God talking. God is speaking to you right now. It's not me talking, it's God talking. And you may need to go back with your family, and you need to get together with your kids and regroup. And just simply say, listen, in this house, from now on, we're not going to be yelling. I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to wrestle you. I'm not going to fool around like that. When I talk to you, when I say, come here, you're going to come. And I'm not going to repeat myself. It's not going to happen twice. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to take instant action. And I know that if I discipline you right away, immediately, and it's serious, that I'm not just trying to keep you from embarrassing me. I'm not just trying to keep you from irritating me. I'm not angry with you. I'm training you to respond to the voice. And right now, I am the voice in this house. And you're going to listen to this voice. And that's all there is to it. No repetition, no yelling, no saying it over and over again, faster and faster and louder, counting to 10 or 12 divided by 4. 1, 2, 3, what's that? That's math. You're not teaching math. You're trying to teach a kid to instantly respond to the sound of your voice. And so for some of us, it's time to man up and just, you know, come on, ladies. And just say, this is the way it's going to be from now on. What we've been doing has been wrong. What we've been doing is not right. We repent, and we're going to change the way we run things in this house. And this thing with the tree, with our son, that was the catalyst for that. That was the catalyst for it. I realized I'm failing. They have no respect for my voice. They're not listening to me. And if they won't listen to me, then later on, they're not going to listen to God. They're going to do him the same way. And it could cost them their lives. It could prevent them from hearing him and giving them the warnings that he wants to give them so that they'll live long in the earth and they'll be blessed. So if we will tune in to the voice of the Lord, and we'll say, God, I wanna practice this. I wanna learn to get direction from you. I'm not just gonna run off and do stuff. If I don't know what it is that you're saying, I'm not gonna do anything till I know, till it's clear. And I know you don't stutter, and you're gonna make your voice clear to me. So God will give you clear direction once you tune into his voice. God will prepare you for the future, whether you realize it or not. You'll say, man, 10 years from now, you want to be in a position, and I pray this, I'll say, God, I know that 10 years from now, I'm going to be looking back at these days. And so, God, I want to hear your voice so clearly that when I look back 10 years from now, I give you praise and honor and glory because I listened to you then, and now I'm positioned for great things. I am not in a hole. I am in a super good place, and I can take advantage of every opportunity, and I have the resources to do it. I mean, I'm in the position. And I didn't even know why you wanted me to go to school. I didn't even know why you wanted me to open up that savings account. I didn't even know. I didn't want to do it. It didn't make sense to me. It's like Evan didn't want to stop. But that's not the time to argue. You don't have to know why you're supposed to stop. Just stop. Amen. There'll be time to explain that later after the danger has passed. There'll be time for God to explain. 10 years from now, he'll explain to you why he led you the way he led you with his voice today. So don't try to figure it out. Don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to what he has to say, and he'll position you for the future. You'll make the proper investments of your time. You'll make the proper investments of your relationships. You'll make the proper, you'll be in the right church. You'll be in the right place. You'll be doing the right thing. You'll be positioned. You'll say, man, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't listened, I wouldn't have that degree now, and then this opportunity would be closed to me. And I didn't even want to do that. I didn't even know why I majored in that. I just knew that. I just felt like I heard God say to do it. So I did it. Didn't make a lot of sense at the time. But boy, it's sure crystal clear now. And how is God going to do that with me? And how is he going to do that with you if we don't listen today to his voice? If his voice is just a voice that we only tune into or try to tune into desperately on Sunday. Or we try to tune in desperately when we're in trouble. And the time to become really, really good at recognizing him and really good at being able to discern exactly what he's saying is today, before the trouble hits, before the 10 years go by and we waste it and we invest it in things that are not profitable. So God wants to warn us. There are times when you'll be so discouraged that if you can't hear the voice of the Lord, I can tell you all day long, you know, buck up, brother, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And you'll appreciate that, but it won't really have that big an effect on you. And you're going to need to hear God's voice for yourself. You're going to need to be in a place where maybe when nobody else is around, when you're just driving to work or you're just sitting in a chair, all of a sudden you'll hear God say something to you and it'll just break you. You'll just start to weep. And you'll just say, man, I just heard God. You know, God just told me that it's going to be okay. God just told me that he was with me. Sometimes even just God telling you just a simple thing. You see this in the scripture. You know, preachers talk a whole bunch. You know, we get up and talk and talk and talk. God oftentimes would say things that were life-changing to people. Be like one sentence.
That's right.
You know, it was life-changing for, well, look at Samuel. Samuel had a life-changing experience in the middle of the night when he was sound asleep. And what big sermon did God preach to him? How many words did God use? One. Samuel! changed his life. Why did it change his life? Because God said it. God said it. And man will speak thousands and thousands of words and it won't necessarily put a dent in us. And God will say one thing or one phrase. And when you hear it and it's him, wow, it will turn you inside out. Yes. I mean, you'll run on that word for the rest of your life. You'll be depressed, you'll be discouraged, you'll be afraid. And all of a sudden, you'll be able to leap over a wall and run through a troop and go into the lion's den and tear it up. Why? Because God spoke. God spoke. Some of us are living our entire lives as Christians without the expectation that God will ever say anything to us. We're living our entire Christian life without really exercising the privilege that we have to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father, to be able to hear the voice of our Savior, to hear Jesus speak to us, to receive what it is that God has for us. He'll warn us. It'll protect us. It'll save us. It'll deliver us. He'll prepare us for the future. He'll teach us. He'll instruct us. He'll encourage us when we're depressed, when we're discouraged. God will just, and how does he do that? He uses his voice. He'll speak with his voice. The Bible says that his voice is so powerful that mountains melt. Huge cedar trees are split in two at the sound of his voice. So at the end of the age now, the Bible says that God is sending messengers ahead. And God is sending messengers ahead to everyone who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And just as he prepared with a voice the people for the coming of Jesus when he was born as an infant, and he came and he took on flesh and he came at Christmas time, John the Baptist went before him, and John the Baptist was the one that was the voice crying in the wilderness that said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And God sent the voices of his prophets to declare it, to proclaim it, so that people would be ready. Jesus is coming again. When he comes again, he's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's not coming again with this image that we have in our mind of him being tortured and bloody and unrecognizable because he was so abused and he was nailed to the cross and he died and a spear was thrust into his side and there's blood pouring out of the wounds in his feet and his hands and his side and the crown of thorns is on his head. And that's the image that we have. Oftentimes, if you go to certain churches, they will have that's the image that they hold up in front of people all the time. That's all you see. But that's who he was. Now, the Bible says, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, he has been given a name which is above every name. He is highly exalted. And he's not going to stay there, but he's going to stay there until the restoration of all things, until the gospel is preached to every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. And then the end will come, and Jesus will come and return again. But when he returns again, he's coming back as a conquering king. The Bible says he's not coming back with respect to salvation this time. The first time he came back, it was in respect to salvation. It was that man would have a way to be saved through a Savior, Christ the Lord. The second time he comes, he's coming as a ruler, he's coming as a judge, he's coming as a conquering king. With no mention of salvation. Salvation is for now. When Jesus comes again, that's not going to be the discussion. That's not going to be the time for anybody to say, "Okay, now I want to get saved. Now that I see him coming on a white horse, now that I see him alive, now that I see him, I want to get saved." When he comes again, it's to put an end to all things. It's to judge all people. It'll be over. The door to the banquet will be closed. The door to the ark will be sealed. And no one is going to get in and no one's going to want to get out. Once we're in, we're not going to want to get out. So what will the Lord do? He will send voices. He will send messengers before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before he comes again. What will he send those messengers to do? To proclaim the coming of the Lord, to say, "Let every crooked place be made straight. Let every rough place be made smooth. Let every mountain be brought low, pride. Let every valley be lifted up, those that are poor and those that are broken and those that are destitute and those that are disenfranchised and those that don't think they have any value, let them be lifted up and meet the Lord." And that's what he'll send, and that's the voice that he'll send, and that's what the voice will proclaim. And that's where we are today. There was a voice that came prior to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. There are voices now that are being raised up to proclaim the second coming of the Lord when he comes in power, when he comes to receive all of his people unto himself. And so are you ready for that? Are you practicing listening to his voice so that you will be positioned properly? You'll be doing what you're supposed to do. And people might not understand what you're doing, and they might not understand why you're doing it. And you don't want to tell them that you hear voices. They might, but you're not listening for voices, are you? You're listening for the voice. And once you begin to develop the ability to hear what God is saying, you also, in correlation with that, you begin to develop the ability to be able to recognize when it's not him. Like, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's not the devil? How do I know it's not me? How do I know? Well, you begin to develop the ability to know this is God and this is not God. If somebody comes up to you and says, man, I think you should do this, or this is what I believe that God is saying. And you'll be able to hear whether that's God or not. You'll be able to discern that. You'll say, well, that's not God. That's not God. If somebody would have come up to me and said, your dad wanted me to tell you that you should do this, I'd say, no, I know my dad, and that does not sound like him. Dad would never tell me to do that. That's not him. That's not. Don't tell me that. I don't receive that. I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that that's true. Why? Because I have so much practice handling what's real, I find it easy to be able to discern what's fake. That's how they train cashiers, you know. They never let them touch a counterfeit bill. They just touch the real thing. That's all they ever touch. And then when they touch the fake, they say, that's fake. That's fake. That's not right. Because I know what it feels like. I know what it is. And God wants to train us, and God wants to train every single one of us so that every single day we're able to plug into his voice. How would you like to start with, you know, just like a practical, like simple assignment? How many have some more Christmas presents to buy? Okay. How many have a lot more Christmas presents to buy? All right. Why don't you just submit that to God and just say, God, would you lead me and guide me so that this is not stressful? Speak to me. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me how to do this. Do you think that God cares about you being generous and giving gifts to people that you love? Do you think the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in something simple like that? It's not life and death, is it? Hopefully not. But it's a way to start to practice hearing the voice of the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And the Bible says that he will direct your steps. And how will he do that? He will use his voice. He's not going to arm wrestle you. He's not going to chase after you. He's going to speak to you, and you're going to learn to trust that voice, and you're going to learn the joy of doing what that voice tells you to do and seeing the results, because the results are going to be good. Amen? Amen? Amen. The only times that I have regrets, the only thing that I look back on in the past in my life are the moments where I did not do what God spoke to me and told me to do. And sometimes I told myself that he didn't speak to me, And that's always been a lie. That's always been an emotional response to the trouble that I found myself in, was saying, God, why didn't you say something to me? And then I would hear like an echo, and it would be like, oh, do you remember when you heard that? Well, yeah, there it was right there. You did say something to me. You did tell me. And I just discounted it. I just disregarded it. I didn't acknowledge it. I didn't recognize it. I was in such a hurry. Or you did say something, and I forgot. I forgot that you spoke to me. I didn't write it down. I just kept moving. I just kept going. I mean, life is like that, isn't it? But God is faithful. God is faithful. So here's the question. If God is speaking all of the time, then where are your ears? Where are they? Are they working? The Bible says, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let him who has an ear hear. Now, I know you have physical ears, and I know that your physical ears are probably working, but these are the ears that God gives us spiritually to be able to open them up and say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Speak to me, your servant is listening. And God wants to open our ears. He wants to open our ears. If something had happened to Evan when he came out of the house and that tree had fallen, and that tree had fallen, would it have been because I was not speaking to him? Did I speak to him? Yeah, I did. Did I speak to him loudly? Yes, I did. Did I speak to him repeatedly? Yes, I did. What was his problem? He didn't have his ears trained to hear. He didn't have his ears trained to hear. So what did I do as his father? Because I recognized that, I said, we're going to have to do some ear training. And so we embarked on an ear training thing. And I said, I'm going to train your ears. So here's how I want your ears to work. I want your ears, as soon as they hear my voice, I want your ears to immediately respond. Immediately get it and stop and wait to hear what I have to say next. And I trained him and I trained the girls. And I'm just telling you, from that moment on, I never repeated myself again. Now, you may not believe that, but I didn't. I had a little help from a spanking stick that we still have on top of the refrigerator. And I would put that in the car with me. And I tell you, this works wherever you go. And they tested me on this in the mall. They thought, well, we're at the mall, so what's he going to do? And they tested me on it at the restaurant and the grocery store. And I proved to them that I meant business and that I would not repeat myself in the store. I would not repeat myself at home. I would not repeat myself at the mall, at the restaurant. It didn't matter where we were, that this would work. This was universal. This was a requirement. When I speak, you listen. You have ears to hear. And I just trained their ears, trained them to listen, trained them to listen. So what would your good heavenly father, who's so much better than any earthly father, what would he be doing with you right now, training you to listen to his voice? He's not going to be mad at you and curse you and say, well, you didn't listen to me last week, so I'm done talking to you. That's not what God's going to do. Now, we might have heard that from somebody, but God will never say that to us. God will keep coming. He'll keep training. He'll keep working. He wants to train you. He wants to train me to hear perfectly. Amen. To hear perfectly. I'm not there yet. But I got started listening years ago, and my prayer for you is that you will start listening today. Amen. Because if you do, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be warned, you're going to be spared, you're going to live. Amen? You're going to live. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy today, and we thank you, Lord, for your voice. And we know your voice, Lord, is the voice. It is the voice. In a world full of people talking, there's only one voice that we have to hear, that we must hear, and that is the Lord's voice. So Lord, speak to us today. Continue to talk to us, guide us, lead us, warn us, teach us, encourage us, call us like you did Samuel. Call us, oh God, we pray. Call us out of the darkness into the light. Use your voice. Use your voice, Lord. We're here as your servants, and we're listening. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never given your life to Christ, then the Lord is calling you. If you're backslidden, the Lord is calling you. He's using his voice. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you and calling you and calling you and calling you. And so, do you have ears to hear this afternoon? And will you respond to what it is that you hear him say? So if you're not saved, I know he's calling you to repent. I know he's calling you to trust Christ and receive Jesus as your Savior. If you're backslidden, he's calling you to come out of the darkness and return to him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? God is speaking to me, Pastor, and I'm just acknowledging that's sort of the universal sign of surrender. I surrender to the Lord's voice. God is speaking, and I'm submitting to what he's saying. I hear what God is saying, and I want him to know that I hear, and I recognize that he indeed is talking to me personally, just like he called Samuel by name, he's calling me. If that's you, just raise your hand. Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender to the Lord. I want to give my life to Christ. I've never been saved, or I'm backslidden, and I'm going to come back to the Lord. I see this young lady right here in front of me. Thank you. Anybody else? Maybe there's another person. Maybe you're the second person. God's speaking. There's a young man right back there. Good for you. Good for you. I'll tell you, you listen to the voice of the Lord, you will never be disappointed. When God starts to speak to you, you don't want him to ever stop. God, just keep talking. I'm all ears. You just tell me who I am, tell me my identity, tell me my future, tell me my purpose, tell me that you love me, encourage me, Lord, talk to me. God wants to speak to you. The more you listen, the more he talks. The more you have ears to hear, the more he has to say to you, and you'll pick it up. You'll get it. God will make sure you do. Trust him. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I want to get right with God. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. I'm backslidden and I want to return to the Lord. I hear the voice of the Lord calling me out of the miry clay, calling me out of the darkness, calling me out of a life of sin. I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. I hear you and I'm coming. If that's you, you raise your hand. You come when he calls, and he's calling, he's speaking. Let's all stand to our feet. I got this young lady and I got a young man. back over there. You come. I want to pray for you. Yeah, just come right on. And this young man over here, just step right out and come on right down here. And you stand, just look at me. Yep, and we're going to pray. Amen. Let's give them another round of encouragement as they come. It takes a lot of courage to just step out, you know. God bless you, man. But you know, it's odd because the devil tries to put shame on us. And why would you be embarrassed to say, hey, God's speaking to me? You know, isn't that awesome? Doesn't everybody want that? People are running around searching out all kinds of things. And then here we are in a place where God is so gracious to us. He could be silent. He could just let us go. He could just see the danger and just say, well, they're so stupid. Just let them go. Let them go. Let them die. You know, there's more of them on the way. You know, I don't care. One more or less doesn't matter to me. Every single person, the Bible says not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but God isn't aware of it. Not one hair of your head falls, but God is not. He's numbered the hairs on your head. And so it does matter to him. And that we listen to him. It does matter to him that we hear his voice and we respond to him. Amen? So have you ever done this before? How about you? Yeah, you're rededicating your life. That's what I felt like you were doing, okay? And how long have you been coming to the church? It's your first time. Awesome, awesome. Well, you're a quick responder, like a first responder, isn't he? Yeah, for real. And awesome, good for you. Good for you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's pray. So, and I want all of us to pray along with them just to help them out. So, and if you close your eyes, then you won't be distracted by anybody around you. There's nothing, you know, weird about that. It's just to help you to be able to focus on Jesus and for God to be able to touch your heart. So just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I turn from sin and unrighteousness, and I turn to you in faith. Receive me as I receive you. I receive Jesus as my Savior and the Lord of my life. Jesus, I receive the good gifts of forgiveness and cleansing and deliverance from evil and every power of the devil. I receive new life, a born-again spirit, a changed mind, and a new direction in life. I receive the local church as the household of faith, where I can grow up and become mature and become strong. Lord, I receive everything that you have for me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. Thank you for saving me and for changing me. And I choose you to follow you for the rest of my life, to submit to your authority and to listen to your voice. And I thank you. Amen. 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 Amen.